I am not alone in the studio this evening. I have a musician and his guitar sitting right across from me. Jerry Vandiver is based in Nashville and has seen great success as a songwriter with songs recorded by Tim McGraw and Lone Star and Phil Vassar and many, many more on 15 million records or so, over that many. And I discovered his music because he also writes and performs songs about paddling and camping and all things outdoors. And one of our listeners requested his songs for the monthly request show here on Simply Folk. And it turns out that, Jerry, you come through the Upper Midwest on a paddle and pickin' tour, and so you do. Were kind enough to stop by WPR and share some music and conversation. Yeah. Well, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm just thrilled to be here.
Well, we really appreciate it, and so you do this whole paddle and pickin' tour. Are you in the middle of it right now?
I am, actually. It started last night, technically speaking. I actually came up from Nashville to Rockford, Illinois, with my fiddle player. And we played the Kishwaukee Paddle Festival there in Rockford last night, and left this morning and came up to here. And from here, I'm heading up to points in the Boundary Waters and Isle Royale and Ely, Minnesota, and some points in Minnesota as well.
Yeah, that's quite a nice range. And what kind of audience do you get for that?
It varies. Everything from some campfire concerts to a house concert. To playing in a dining lodge at an outfitter's up on the Canadian border of the Gunflint Trail, and all things in between. And I'm even doing a radio program. It's kind of like a miniature Opry broadcast in Alexandria, Minnesota. It's in Minnesota, but it's called the Tennessee Roadhouse. There's actually a place in Minnesota called the Tennessee Roadhouse. Hard to believe. But it's there, so I play that as well. So it runs the whole gamut. It's just a blast. I've been doing this kind of thing for about 5 years now, and I'm just having the time of my life.
And I bet the folks in the audience are happy.
Well, I hope they are. They smile a lot, so I assume they are, yeah. Even some of them sing along to some of my songs, which is even more fun.
Well, that's good, especially if they're coming back and you get repeats.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, why don't we start with a song first?
Okay.
What would you like to start with?
Well, since we're talking about the paddling and pick and tour, and I do some songs about paddling. I'm an avid canoeist in particular. Some friends of mine are thinking I'm going over to the dark side with a kayak, but I like both of them. But this is a song I'll dedicate to all the paddlers out in Wisconsin right now.
The boulders and the lean and the shoulders, when you reach for the eddy, it doesn't get better than this. Yes, it's more, so much more, more than a river. All it takes is a little class two to still give you a rush. And you live for a breath of the valley air in the mist and the morning hush. When it doesn't matter just where you are, as long as the water's white. Some say it's a crazy way to live, but to you, it's a way of life. It's more than a river. It's more than the water flowing or where it's going. It's the grip on the paddle and the shift in the saddle, the V in the boulders and the lean in the shoulders. When you reach for the eddy, it doesn't get better than this. Yes, it's more, so much more, more than a river. Grip on the paddle and the shift in the saddle, the V in the boulders and the lean in the shoulders. When you reach for the eddy, it doesn't get better than this. Yes, it's more, so much more. Oh, yes, it's more. Oh, so much more. More than a river. More than a river. There you go.
What a great way to start.
Oh, thank you.
Just
that was fun.
And this is such a great time of year for it, too.
It is. And the weather up here has just been perfect for it.
We've had a great summer.
That's what I hear.
Yep.
Yeah.
A little bit of rain early on, but it's
That's
we've
perfect.
Had some beautiful, cool days and sunny days. And for those of us who like to be outside,
yep.
and it's just
And you
got
to have the rain so the water's running on the river.
That's a good point.
It's important. that may have to be a song in the future, for that matter.
That's true. Well, the other thing that the rain has done for us is that the prairie flowers are gorgeous,
oh, yeah.
and people's gardens are doing well.
Yeah.
Farm crops are doing well. So all in all, here in Wisconsin, it's been a pretty good
Excellent.
Pretty good spring and summer. Well, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. Just your basic Midwestern kid that picked up a guitar when he was 14 years old listening to Peter, Paul, and Mary. I was not good at sports, and I didn't want to work on cars, which is kind of the two things guys did at that age. So the guitar just spoke to me, and when I heard those songs, I went down to a pawn shop in Kansas City, picked up a guitar, and went over to a music store and bought a Mel Bay book, and my life has been changed ever since.
Those Mel Bay books, I can still see the cover of that.
They're classics.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. And so when did you start writing? Did you start writing right away, or were you doing other people's songs?
Well, kind of along that. Yeah, I did, but I mean, I wouldn't dare play you some songs from those days. Those were just absolutely horrible. But I started kind of taking it seriously. The funny thing about that for me is that, and I don't know why this happened, but the minute I started playing guitar, I always imagined me playing for somebody. It wasn't just a bedroom satisfaction. I wanted to, play to an audience. And so I started doing a little bit of that, playing those Peter, Paul, Mary songs at churches and coffee houses and things. And the audience requested some songs. What have you written? Oh, I don't know. I guess I better start writing some songs. And I did that, and it really spoke to me. It really spoke to my heart even more than playing someone else's songs. So probably about 2021 is when I really started to write those kinds of songs. And it just kept eating's not a good word. It just kept calling me.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, one day, I was actually a seventh grade science teacher in my 20s. And I was looking out over my adorable 12-year-old children that were listening intently to me, hopefully. And just the little voice came to me and said, Jerry, you want to do something with your music. And so I started making plans to move to Nashville and see what the big leagues were like in the songwriting endeavor. And I got lucky.
Yeah. So you were, it was a cliche, you moved and went to Nashville to seek your fame and fortune in the music business, and you really did it.
I did. Not so much fortune. every now and then, though. I mean, I made a living, and still do as a songwriter, and I'm very, very grateful for that. Yeah, I got very, very fortunate. I remember when Tim McGraw cut my first song, when I got my first Tim McGraw cut, I had two of them. At the time, he was not known very well at that point. And then all of a sudden, the album went gold. Then it went platinum. Then it went double platinum. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've got a gold record on my wall. And it was just this wonderful dream come true. It's hard to explain how touching it is.
It must have been so gratifying.
Yes.
And to be, we were talking about this a little bit before we went on the air, but to be doing what you love and then to have it be what you are able to do for a living.
Yeah, to do both of those things. I mean, there's a lot of jokes about songwriting. We would do it anyway. I mean, it is a calling in some sort. And somebody asked me the other day if I was going to retire, and I said, I don't know that you retire from writing songs. It's just they come. I'd be doing it anyway, and like you say, to make a living, to actually every 3 months go out of the mailbox and get an actual royalty check. Sometimes it's a lot of money. Sometimes it's really small. but it's a great thing. I'm very, very grateful and fortunate to be able to be that in that crowd. Yeah.
Why don't we have another song?
Okay.
What would you like to do next? I know you do a lot of different genres of music.
Yeah, we're going to stay with the paddling thing one more time,
Great.
Least for now.
Yeah.
Just because we did that one, because I think I have a lot of fun with this song. One of the things that I think is important once you get out of your kayak or canoe and you're in the camp and probably there's many rituals we have in a camp, but probably the most important one for most of us is our coffee ritual.
Uh-huh.
And I have talked to many people that have this amazing passions for how they prepare their coffee in the wilderness. It's quite funny. And it, after talking to, to so many of these people about it, it inspired this song. This is called Camp Coffee. Crawl out of the tent. First thing I do, fire up the pocket rocket, start the brew. Wait for a whiff of that wake-me-up aroma, and then I'm in a happy camper moment. With my hands around the mug, watching the mist rise, the first hot sip, opening my eyes. French press, ground fresh, dipping bag, percolator, Nescafe, gourmet, special blend, you know a savor. Time with my morning cup, a camp coffee. Now later tonight, when dinner's long gone, campfire started and the dishes are done. A blue mug's waiting with my caffeine fix and a little extra something thrown into the mix. With my hands around the mug, watching the sunset, the first hot sip. How good can it get? Swiss Miss chocolate chip, dunk a little cookie in it, Jim Beam Irish cream, Maker's Mark amaretto, put it in my evening cup. A camp coffee. Bear got the food? No problem. Lost the tent pegs? I can solve it. Holes in the tarp? That's easy to fix. Ah, but run out of coffee. It's the end of the trip. Gotta have my hands around the mug. Watching the mist rise, the first hot sip. Opening my eyes, French press, ground fresh, dipping bag, percolator, Nescafe, gourmet, special blend, you know a savor, Swiss Miss, chocolate chip, dunk a little cookie in a Jim Beam Irish cream, Maker's Mark amaretto, it's all about me and my cup. It's something that'll never give up. Have a seat, I'll pour you a cup. Camp coffee. Camp coffee. Camp coffee.
That is classic, yes.
It's a lot of fun. There are some serious camp coffee people out there. I hope it touched a few of your listeners.
Yes, there are.
I do have a confession to make, by the way.
What's that?
On that song, there's a line in the bridge that says, Bear got the food, no problem.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I was doing a solo trip in the Boundary Waters on my birthday, I might add, and I woke up on my birthday to this dragging sound in my campsite, and I looked out, and there is a big old black bear dragging my barrel of food into the woods.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and he got it, and it was a problem.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
He got it. Bear wins.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Especially when you're by yourself.
Yep. That was the key, actually. I thought, you know, I think I'll leave the bear alone. Nobody knows I'm here except the bear.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't wish me happy birthday either. I thought that was a little bit rude.
Boy, yeah, take your food in.
Yeah.
No birthday wishes. Well, do you take your guitar with you when you go on these solo
trips? I do not. I do not do that for many reasons, one of which is I don't want to hurt the guitar.
Yeah.
But the second reason is there's a lot of music out there. You know, the loons, the crickets, the frogs, the songbirds. I hear a lot of nature's music, and that's inspiring enough. Yeah. I do get a lot of ideas out there, and I have actually written some songs out there without my guitar, and sometimes I've been with some other paddlers, and I've got this song, and I don't want to lose them, so I'm singing it all the time, and the problem, it makes them half crazy, but I have written several songs in the wilderness, yeah.
Imagine it would be inspiring, and you want to...
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You want to kind of trap it and grab it while you've got it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, did you grow up in a musical family?
I did not. It's funny you say that. I didn't even have a stereo till I was 12 years old. Yeah, and no, but mom and dad, when they saw how passionate I was. They were so happy that I found something I could hold on to, and especially through my adolescence. And so I wasn't a problem child because I was playing my guitar all the time. But yeah, no, they never were very musical. They're very proud. They came to hear me play, and Mom sat on the front row every time, you know, and stuff like that. But no, it wasn't a musical family at all. Amazingly enough, it was a train family. Actually, most of my family was in the railroad in Kansas City.
No kidding.
No, that's why I have so many train songs on my other CDs.
I was going to say that's a whole other genre.
It is,
that
yeah.
too. And
mm-hmm.
boy, and there's a whole group of listeners and fans that listen to train songs, love train songs, and there are train song conventions. And
oh yeah,
it's really a
yeah,
whole
it's a whole other genre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you gig in Nashville? Do you play
your
own stuff?
Frequently, yes. There's one place in particular. It's called the Bluebird Cafe. I played there last July. I'll be playing there on the day after Thanksgiving. It'll be our 22nd annual Songwriters Black Friday show at Bluebird Cafe. We've done that traditionally now for that many years. And there's other places around Nashville that I play. There's so many. There's writers' nights all over the place. And there's another place downtown called the Listening Room that I'm scheduled to go play here soon. And then there's a lot of other songwriter venues outside the area. In fact, right when I come back from this tour, I'm playing at a 50-room bed and breakfast inn in Balsam, North Carolina, built in 1905. And we have a songwriter's show. We play there every year at this time. And it's really, really fun. So
it sounds lovely.
It's great. Yeah. Yeah. It's called the Balsam Mountain Inn. It's still decorated to the turn of the century. 1905 is when it was built. And there's no televisions and no telephones in any of the rooms.
And no internet.
No internet. No, it's nestled in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's gorgeous. It's really goes back in time. I love it.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, why don't we have another song? What would you like to do next?
Let's do. How about you? Let's do a railroad song.
Okay.
Would that be okay?
Yeah.
I need to kind of down tune a little bit.
Sound of your guitar is gorgeous.
Thank you. I put new strings on just for this tonight. Bought here in Madison, I might add.
All right.
This song, I'm going to go one more. This song, sorry about that. I really dedicate this to my grandfather. My grandfather worked for the Missouri Pacific and the Kansas City Southern all of his life, 47 years. Oh, come on now. There we go. There we go. And we called him Papa. And I remember as a child, our family going to bring him his Thanksgiving and his Christmas dinner there because he was always on the switchyard. And it was more than a life for him. And it turns out that my uncle, his son, and my dad's brother was also on the railroad. And then it turns out, now my dad and I were not, we were kind of the black sheep, but my sister married into a railroad. Now her son works for the railroad. So it just seems to go on and on and on. And I'm always fascinated by the passion of the people that work there. And they don't do it for 4 or 5 years. They do it for 50 years, you know. And so that's what the song is about. It's about the day that my grandfather retired from the railroad. This is called The Sound of My Home. I've seen every tie and spike on this track all of 47 years. Carried old ladies' trunks on my back, covered coal for engineers. I first took the throttle at 21, hauling soldiers back from war. Sometimes I have wondered why I stayed so long in the saddle of this old iron horse. Well, maybe it's the smell of the oil and smoke, the squeal of the wheels and the headlights choked by the dark, while others hear a lonesome whistle blow.
I just hear the sound of my home. There once was a time when this engine did roar, and her silver sides would shine. Now it's grown tired and its finish is worn, but then so is mine. Round the bend is Birmingham, my final stop. I'll drop throttle one last time, but I'd gladly give up this new gold watch for one more mile down the line. Well, maybe it's the smell of the oil and smoke, the squeal of the wheels and the headlights choked by the dark, while others hear a lonesome whistle blow. I just hear the sound of my home. Ooh, the sound of my home. Sound of my home.
Ooh. A song about the day your grandfather retired from the railroad.
Yeah.
Sound of my home.
The sound of my home, yeah.
And railroad songs are always about the sound of the railroad.
It is, yeah. I love that. And it's so North American, too, you know, yeah. Both here in Canada. It's part of our culture.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, I'm Stephanie Elkins. This is Simply Folk. And my guest is Jerry Vandiver, Vandiver, a really wonderful singer-songwriter based in Nashville with some great music. And we've heard some paddle songs. And I have to ask you, Jerry, about what it's like to be a successful songwriter in Nashville. Now that you're well-established, do you... When a song comes to you, do you think, oh, this would be a perfect song for Tim McGraw or a perfect song for so-and-so?
Yeah, it does happen like that. Yeah, it's almost premature, though. You start playing something, Tim McGraw would like, Reba would like this, and, you know. And most of the time, what's funny is that when you think that, that's not what happens. It goes, it finds another home somewhere. Hopefully it does. I mean, you know, I've written probably... Since I moved to Nashville, which is in the fall of 1984, I've written probably 600 or 700 songs and probably had 30 major label cuts and then a lot of independent cuts. So, and then I've had some songs that have never been cut but are still used in some format or another. I even have a song, if we have time, maybe I'll get a chance to play it, I know some ministers that use it in marital counseling. Never been recorded. So it's kind of fun to see a song find its own home. But yeah, you do think, oh yeah, Tim would be good for this, or Kenny Chesney, or, you know, of course, you always think the big money makers first.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
You always want to go that route, but it's fun whenever anyone... I'm thrilled and honored whenever anyone wants to put their name on one of my songs and go out there with it. It's an amazing feeling.
Do you work with a manager and an agent and that kind of thing?
Actually, or? The way it works in the business, agent is actually in the music business is really another name for music publisher. I've written for four publishing companies, and the publisher. For a significant chunk of the royalties, I might add, really acts as your agent. They hopefully have the connections with the record labels and the producers, the managers, and even sometimes the recording artists. And you hopefully have established your relationships with really good songwriters and your co-writing as well as your solo writing too. And so they expect you to turn in songs that have some substance, even though a lot of people would argue that a lot of radio music today doesn't have substance, and I won't argue with them a whole lot until my songs are on the radio. But anyway, so they hopefully you have written what I don't like to use the word commercial. I like to use accessible to the public, that the listener can grip onto it with some feeling of their own and make it a part of their life. So then that publisher or agent will hopefully go out there and get those songs recorded. And that's generally how it's happened for me. My publishers in the past have done very well getting my songs out there. In fact, my first Tim McGraw cut was one, my publisher at that time was an old friend of Tim's. And Tim came into the office one time and said, "What do you got for me?" And he played my song. And, you know, it's a relationship business with a capital R as well.
Yeah, you hear so many stories about networking and how it's such a cliche, but it's so very important.
It is. Yeah. It is. But the thing about the networking, it sounds so sterile. It's the networking happens. The friendships are deep and gratifying. The vast majority of my friends in Nashville are in the music business, and there's a reason for that. We all have the same passions. And while it's very competitive, it's just hard to imagine how competitive it is. But at the same time, like, I have a friend that just got a Tim McGraw cut. And unfortunately for me, I wasn't a writer with him on it, but I'm just so glad for him. And it's a neat song, and it deserves to be recorded, and yay, Will, go for it, you know? So we do have a social establishment of competitiveness, but happy because we know how hard it is. So when anybody really does score, we're like really excited for them.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So what have you got going on? You're probably always writing. Are you working on any new recording projects?
Yeah, in fact, I am. I'm getting ready to... I'm starting to put some songs together I'm going to have some fun with this. It's kind of what I call a mixed bag of songs. I've got some songs I've written. I have a song kind of that involves a train, but not exactly. In fact, maybe I'll get a chance. I'll play it for you. I have a song about one of our dogs, and then I have some paddling songs. And I'm going to call the CD instead of mixed bag, I'm going to call it mixed dry bag.
And anybody who's been in a canoe or a kayak,
exactly, they'll get that. Yeah. So I plan on recording. I'm still writing some songs, and I plan on doing some recording hopefully this fall.
And it'll be called Mixed Dry Bag.
The Mixed Dry Bag.
I love that.
I'll send it to you when we get it done.
Well, we have time for one more song, Jerry.
Okay.
What would you like to finish with?
Well, let's do one that I'm going to do on that CD.
Okay.
And it's not a train song, but the song is called Trains I Didn't Take. Harlan Howard in Nashville, Tennessee, one of the most famous songwriters, told a friend of mine one time, "Son, if you want to make some money in this business, you got to go have a divorce or two." You know? And this is a true story. I pulled up behind my ex-wife one time and I recognized her because I saw her eyes in the mirror, the rearview mirror, it was also the car I was still making payments on. And I got to reflect on that whole thing and came away with this song. It's called Trains I Didn't Take. Red lights were flashing, the crossing gates came down. I pulled up behind her as the train was coming round. There in her rear view, I got a clear view. I'd know those baby blues anywhere. She was the one who offered everything. Love and affection, complete security. I could have played it safe, but it's not like me to take the road somebody else has already paved. There were bridges I dared to cross, chances taken, chances lost, dreams I chased, dreams I tossed, but there are no mistakes, only choices that I made that brought me here to this place and made me who I am today.
no regrets for trains I didn't take. I heard she climbed right up the social ladder. Picture perfect wife, happy ever after. 2.2 kids, gated residence, the white picket fence that couldn't fence me in. There were bridges I dared to cross, chances taken, chances lost, dreams I chased, dreams I tossed. There are no mistakes, only choices that I made that brought me here to this place and made me who I am today, with no regrets for trains I didn't take. The gates lifted and she crossed the tracks, and in the glow of her tail light, sat there for a moment, took one last look back, and she went left, and I went right. There were bridges I dared to cross, chances taken, chances lost, dreams I chased, dreams I tossed. There are no mistakes, only choices that I made that brought me here to this place and made me who I am today, with no regrets for trains I didn't take. Trains I didn't take.
Jerry Vandiver with Trains I Didn't Take on a recording yet to be released.
Yes. Actually, that was recorded by a bluegrass group in North Carolina.
Oh,
if you can imagine
kidding.
That. Who knows? And they did it bluegrass.
I bet it made a good bluegrass
song. It was fun. Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah.
Well, you do have a number of recordings, and the one that's been getting the most airplay here on Simply Focus called True and Deep, Songs for the Heart of the Paddler. That's the one that was getting requested.
Yes.
And all of our folks that like to be out on the lake. And you've got a couple more as well.
Yep.
And folks can find them on your website at jerryvandiver.com.
Or paddlesongs.com.
That's right. That's
Either
right. You've
one.
Got the separate paddlesongs.com,
yes.
right?
And CD Baby, for that matter, too.
And you're active
Thank
on
you.
Facebook, and I've got a link to that on our website.
Wonderful. Thank you.
At simplyfolk.com and also at our Facebook page. So,
excellent.
A lot of places to find you. Jerry, thank you so much for stopping in.
I had a blast. Thank you. Let's do it again next year.
For sharing your music with us. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. Thanks so much.
Well, we mentioned at the very beginning, you mentioned that you were inspired by Peter, Paul, and Mary. And
yes.
It just happenstance that the very next song we're going to hear is
Perfect.
Peter, Paul, and Mary. So
excellent.
That's coming right up after this here on Simply Folk.